Did Brian Hartline fire a shot at Alex Golish?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. A quote recently from Brian Hartline kind of seems to throw some shade at Alex Golish. We're going to talk about that. The expectations of South Florida and the people around that program are a little insane. Like, just viewing it from outside of the box here, from Auburn over the past since Alex Golish has left. And then this Hartline hype that they're building, really weird to me. And then we're going to talk about Jackson Coivin, his debut. Struggled a little bit, but got a good opportunity to bounce back this weekend. But let's just jump right into it. So I'm going to let you read the quote, and then we're going to break it down. So Hartline says, when talking about, you know, I guess Alex Golish's tenure at South Florida before he took over, he says, there was some success here the last couple of years, but nowhere near where it should be. Now, on the surface, okay, on the surface, that's just a football coach quote. But where I have a little bit of a problem is the last part where it says it's nowhere near where it should be. And my question to Brian Hartline and then to South Florida in general is, where should South Florida success be? In when you look at the history of South Florida football, where should it be? I've never seen anything like a fan base that has really no real concept of reality of who they are as a program. And also seemingly despise the coach that kind of got them out of the doldrums, the coach that brought them out of the darkness for the most part. And that's obviously Alex Golish. I mean, Willie Taggart got South Florida to pretty much like the pinnacle of where they've ever been in 2016. They went 11-2, 7-1, won the Birmingham Bowl. He goes on to take Florida State and crash and burn that one into the ground. And then Charlie Strong took over and went 10-2, and then it just collapsed from there. 7-6, 4-8, 1-8, 2-10, 1-11. But before that, it's a lot of average to below average. A lot of 8-5s, a little 3-9, a 5-7 sprinkled in there, some 6-6s. I just don't understand where this hatred or like this idea that Golish was a bum or Golish just didn't do anything special at South Florida. I mean, guys, you got to understand who you are. Golish comes in after you go 1-11 and 0-8. And takes a freshman, a redshirt freshman, quarterback, wins 7 games and goes 500 in the league in 1 year, from 1 win to 7 and a bowl win in one singular year. That's pretty daggum impressive. And then you go into year 2, you got a lot of hype. You start off, 2 of your first 4 games are against Miami and Alabama, and your quarterback gets hurt. Well, then you go 4-3, I think, with the backup quarterback, which is impressive. Then you go to 2025, you got your guy back healthy, and you go win 9 games, which 10 years, it was right at 10 years before they won that many games. Like 10 years prior is about how long it was before they won that many games again. They're building a new stadium because of Alex Golish. I mean, it's not going to be like Alex Golish Stadium, but they're building a new – they've been playing in the Buccaneers Stadium forever. They're building an on-campus stadium now because of the hype and everything that he's built around that program. I don't really understand that. It's as if they view themselves as a destination job, and they were spurned as a destination job. And it's like, guys, that's just not the case. Alex Golish was going to take the Arkansas job to get away from South Florida. The Arkansas job. The worst program. A worse program than Auburn over the last several years. Think about that. When we're talking about understanding who we are, think about that. He was going to leave. He had just had a 9-win season in a bowl game, and he was going to go to Arkansas before the Auburn job, before Auburn switched and pursued him. Where does that come from? I don't totally blame Brian Hartline. Look, when you come into a new job, anytime you come in, you're going to try to build hype. You're going to try to, you know, get the blood pumping in the fan base, and it's a new day, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. But, man, they really don't like Alex Golish, and that's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. And here's why I think it's the most crazy. So I can remember when Auburn hired Brian Harsin. And on the surface, if you just don't dig any deeper, you're like, man, he won a ton of football games. I'm pretty excited about that. And then you go look at the Boise chatter, and they're like, man, glad he's gone. He was a jerk. Glad he's gone. We're going to be better for this. And you think that's just sour grapes. Yeah, you know, that's just, hey, we lost our coach. He was here for a long time, and he's a Boise guy. It hurt our feelings. I get it. But then you look, and like, not a single player followed him to the new job. Not a single player followed him to Auburn. Not a single player followed him to the SEC. A couple of players were NFL players on that roster. Could have really helped Auburn, particularly one wide receiver, Shakir something. I can't remember his name. So you add those two together, and okay, maybe that tracks a little bit. Maybe those fans were justified because nobody came with him. Then you look at Golish, and they talk trash about him, but the whole damn team came with him, just about. He's an offensive guy, and he had all those wide receivers come with him. He had obviously two quarterbacks come with him. One of the quarterbacks, heck, he probably could have started there this upcoming year. Couple of offensive linemen. I mean, essentially all of the guys were on offense. That's the part that I have a hard time with, because a lot of those guys were there for a very long time, one being Byron Brown. Byron Brown could have gone to any school in the country, just about. Could have gone to Miami, and they would have paid him a pile of money to go to Miami. But he followed his coach. That just doesn't typically happen if a guy's just a turd and, you know, nobody likes him. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I would think if I'm at like a Troy is a really good example. They still love John Summerall. Like those folks from Troy, like those Troy folks, they really love John Summerall for what he did for their program. I bet Tulane, for the most part, likes John Summerall. He kind of kept it rolling from, I guess, was it Willie Fritz before him? He kept it rolling and got him into the playoff and then stayed there to coach. Like, those guys understand who they are and appreciate where those coaches got them. And you don't see that with South Florida. They feel like they should be in the playoff talk, I guess, every single year, even though they did have a stretch where they won three games in 3 years, I believe, four games in 3 years and one conference game in 3 years. They still feel like they are the bomb. So I don't know. And they talk a lot about Brian Hartline, like he's the next great thing. I want to talk about that too in just a second. I don't know why this rubs me the wrong way, but it just does. So y'all just bear with me. Before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Precision Tune Auto Care. Beat the heat, and boy, it is hot. It is so dadgum hot outside. You can still take advantage of their free AC performance evaluation, system pressure test, vent temperature analysis, and any repairs you need over $300 after you do that. They're going to give you $50 off. Drop it off between 7 and 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, and you can get that $50 oil change, which is the best deal in town on top of all of this. That's a lot of stuff right there. They're doing things over there in Opelika. It's not just your typical auto place, auto shop where you go in, you feel like you're going to get fleeced. They take care of you, man. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then buyauburn.com, be who you say you are, and do business with Auburn people everywhere. If you got a business and you're an Auburn person, you can list it for less than $1 per day. You get a chance to have a business spotlight podcast. And then if you're going to make any type of purchase in the near future, start with an Auburn person, man, and start at buyauburn.com. See if you can get it there, and then go elsewhere. Do business with Auburn people. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. This Brian Hartline stuff, man, also kind of rubs me the wrong way. And I don't really know why, but I think it really just piggybacks off of the fact that they dislike or they talk so down about Alex Golish. Oh, he had the best roster. He inherited one of the best rosters in the league. Okay, well, how did that happen when one of the best rosters in the league only won one game the year prior? Or they had the best NIL. Okay, well, if that's the case, why do you ever – they had the best NIL in that conference. Well, then why was 4 wins in 3 years ever on the table then? Biggest enrollment, best facility, all this stuff, best facilities in the conference. Okay, well, if that's the case, why are we having to build new facilities? But this parade around Brian Hartline and kind of building him up, and I mean, I think it's a pretty big indictment right off the bat when you're a wide receivers guy and you're a offensive guy. And you've even been in the same room with some of the Ohio State wide receivers who were phenomenal, and you lost every dadgum wide receiver known to man at South Florida to come to Auburn and follow Alex Golish. Like, didn't even give you the entertainment of, hey, let me just fill this thing out. Let me just see. I mean, this is Brian Hartline. I mean, this is the celebrity offensive coordinator at Ohio State. I mean, come on. Didn't keep a one. I mean, and there's guys like Christian Neptune and Corey Pettigrew, like, probably could have kept those guys. I mean, they were young, and they probably could have been, like, the focal points of that offense, been the focal points of that wide receiver room. No interest. No interest in playing for the Brian Hartline. We're going with our guy Alex Golish, who y'all all hate. We're going to Auburn. You know, there's always I'm an offensive coordinator under an offensive guy deal. Does he call plays? Does he not call plays? There's always that dynamic too when you hire a guy like that. And that's obviously what he was at Ohio State. He was the wide receivers coach for a long time. And then, you know, when Ryan Day got the full-time gig, he was promoted to the offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach. But like, it was always one of those Gus Malzahn, Rhett Lashley deals. Like, does he actually call the plays? Who gets the credit? Could he do it on his own type thing? And then you just take him as a head coach. And it's like all of Ohio State's success is purely because of Brian Hartline. And like, let's not even, let's don't forget about the roster as well. I mean, it's been consistently one of the most expensive rosters since NIL was a thing. So there's that piece of it too. I probably shouldn't let this rustle me, but it is also July 6th, and there's not a ton else going on, so I need something to get fired up about, and this just caught me wrong. This quote and the South Florida fans in general and the South Florida talk in general, it's as if that South Florida made Alex Golish. The resources at South Florida are what made Alex Golish. All he did was just not totally screw it up kind of thing. And that's the part that just drives me crazy. Y'all, let me know what you think. Am I over the top here a little bit? Let's talk about Jackson Coivin really quick. He did not have the debut that I think any of us expected, as he misses the cut in his first first tournament as a PGA pro. They always have this saying, it's like you can't win a tournament on a Thursday, but you can lose it on a Thursday. And that's pretty much what he did. He struggled on the back nine, and I don't know what the deal was about the back nine, but in the first round, he actually played the back nine first. So they ran split tees. So like half of them went off number one and half of them went off number 10, and then they just crossed over. But he struggled on the back nine. He started off on the back nine on Thursday and then finished on the back nine on Friday. But that was the side that gave him the most trouble. He had, I think, six bogeys total between those two rounds. Played really good on the front, had a bunch of birdies on the front, and then started off on Thursday or on Friday with an eagle in his second hole, shot 3 under on the front, and you're like, man, he might have a shot. I think he was only a couple of shots from the cut, and then, you know, he just couldn't quite get over the hump. So he missed the cut by 2 shots, which isn't terrible. I just know that that's not what he was expecting, especially when you're the third best betting odds. So he's still got tons of, what do they call it, status left. Like, he's got several tournaments that he's eligible to play in, and he's going to play in another one this coming weekend. And actually, he played in this event upcoming last year and had a top 10 finish as an amateur. So really good chance to bounce back, a really good chance to go out there and, you know, erase any potential bad taste or get rid of the jitters, and now you can just kind of go play free. You missed a cut, okay, it wasn't the end of the world. You go play again. You go do it again. And you go to a familiar track that you played pretty well at. So we'll see how he does. I was hoping to watch him on the weekend this past weekend, but it didn't happen. It'll be all right. There's going to be more weekends, and he's going to be involved as well. Guys, I hope y'all had a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed the live show last night. Don't forget, we're going to do another live show on Thursday, and it's going to be Sunday, Thursday, every week leading up to the football season. And then I think the Thursday one will be replaced with, you know, obviously the game Barncast. So we may throw another midweek one in there. We'll see. But it was fun last night. A lot of folks in there. Chat was great, so make sure you're there on Thursday. Make sure that you subscribe to the YouTube Premium if you get a chance. We got some new content coming that I think you're really, really going to like. You want to make sure you take advantage of that. Currently, though, you get Afternoon Delight 5 days a week, video version. You get the Village Vice post show, which is hilarious. You get all the film breakdowns that we do, and then again, we have a new content piece coming that I think you're going to really, really like, especially if you're one of those everydayers. Appreciate y'all. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. We'll talk again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.